Coming up on TMS PM, there's a new dog in here.
Eel in your bum.
Gross. 13 health violations.
150 curious cows.
These are all in your bum, by the way. No number two, also in your bum.
Dan, the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream. But it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM. It is the PM edition of the show brought to you by patreon.com/TMS, where you have supported us right into the PM corner. And we're glad to be here.
Because you're worth it.
Yeah, that's right. And we just want you to know, so we're doing a show, and that's how we're doing this. Brian, it was just 3 hours ago we hung out.
It was.
We could have watched, what, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, extended
one,
edition.
One of the Lord of the Rings movies,
yeah,
special edition.
Yeah, have to be special edition. The one where that one guy falls off the top of Minas Tirith on fire. That's
the guy, yes, right.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty good. The guy from he's from that TV show.
What's the guy from Iron Fist that we were just talking about.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, wait, he wasn't on fire. His dad was on fire. It was the guy from Fringe.
Fringe, right, okay. Yes.
Old man from Fringe.
William
H. Macy. Nope. William Holden.
No, I'm trying to give his character name on Fringe because it was
William P. Smitherbush.
That's exactly right. Yep. Good. You've nailed it. And no further thought needs to be given to that whatsoever.
No further action required. You know, I am a random name generator. I could come up with any name we need to if you're ready for it.
Anytime you need a name,
you just say, Scott, give me a name and I'll give you a name. Like right now you could say, oh, I got to log into some fake website. What name should I use?
That's right. I need to sign up for a proxy server to download Australian apps from the App Store. What's my name?
Elvis Lee McSmira buddy.
Perfect.
See? Ready to go. Always ready to go.
That's a name.
That's not a name. This is a name. All right. So we got a new dog, and not really. It's not my dog. But here's how the story went. It's kind of confusing the way I've opened this. But I went upstairs. Kim was at the preschool. Nick's at school. And Carter, of course, and Taylor don't live here anymore. So I'm alone in the house. And I go upstairs, and I hear what I think is Rainer going, and I'm like, just a minute, I'll take you for a little poo or something. It's fine. I just need to go pee myself. So went and peed, washed my hands, phone rang, got on a meeting, sat and talked on that meeting, wandered into the other room thinking I'd just go find Rainer in her kennel. And I am greeted by a giant Rottweiler going,
oh no.
Scared the living, I'm not kidding, a lot of pee came out. And I had just peed, and I peed again. And it was Taylor's giant dog, Izzy. I forgot that she was going to Vegas. They're in Vegas now for a concert.
Oh,
they're
cool.
Seeing
who are they seeing?
John Mayer, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, John Mayer. He's a guy, right? He's a thing.
He's got. That's right. I remember seeing the signs for him while I was there.
Yeah, I think I did too. But yeah, they've been playing it for a while. Bought tickets a while back. They got some friends they're going with, so they're going to go see John Mayer talk about your body.
I'm going to tell you a John Mayer story when we're done.
Oh, like you need...
Off
I need,
the air or something, I think. I don't think I could tell it on the show.
Oh, really? Really? Now I'm really curious. The only song I know is Your Body is a Wonderland. That's all I know.
Sure.
And as far as...
He did that. I want to run through the halls of my high school. I want to scream at the top of my lungs.
Oh, right. That's him too? Okay.
Yeah.
When I hear him sing... Would you like to know who I think of when he sings?
I'm going to say you think of, I hope it's like Jack Johnson.
Nope. But that's a fair thing to say because they're kind of in the same boat, right? Those two?
Yeah.
Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson's a little more freewheeling, like loosey goosey.
I'll give you a hint. It's an actor that I'm looking for.
Oh. And you think when you think of John Mayer,
when
you
John
think
Mayer
of this
sings
actor.
"Body is Wonderland," when he's singing that, I have a.
I bet you think of Andy Samberg.
No, but that's not bad. That's an okay alternative. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever thought of him. I'll tell you who I think of. It's now I forgot his name. Hold on.
All right.
His sister/brother was in Batman. Jake Gyllenhaal. There.
Oh, Sister Slash.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, I could see that. I could totally see that.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal. In my head, every time I hear the voice of John Mayer, I go, Jake Gyllenhaal's face.
Gyllenhaal?
I thought it was Gyllenhaal's. Didn't that get all...
I think we did figure out it's Gyllenhaal, right?
Oh, you know what? We may have to prove it again. Pronounce Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh, it's the first search.
You know what? I don't feel bad at all about this because there's people out there still who don't care enough, even though I've told them, who don't care enough to remember that I have two T's in my last name. So whatever, we can forget how to pronounce Gyllenhaal.
Okay, so apparently on Conan O'Brien, the TBS Conan, he said it out loud. So we're going to hear it for real. Here we go. Okay. Give me a little Conan.
We've known each other a while. We're very good friends. Some say best friends. And you deny it. But I'm curious, the name Gyllenhaal, I never know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It is a Swedish name, is it not?
It is a Swedish name,
so yeah. Shouldn't it be like Gyllenhaal?
Oh, my God.
Gyllenhaal.
The only two places that is pronounced correctly, my last name like you did just now, is in Sweden and in IKEA.
IKEA.
So it's Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. Oh, so we gotta chalk this up with the Charlize Theron.
The Theron.
All
right, that's the way you say it. All right.
But soft G, if you're pronouncing it like Merkin,
yeah,
then it's Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's crazy. Soft G. Okay. All right. Gyllenhaal.
But I like
Gyllenhaal.
The Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal and Hyman. Gyllenhaal, that's it. Anyway, what was my
that's
point?
That's how you can tell Maggie apart from Jake.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah, that and one of
so
them.
So that's
was
what
in,
you think of when you think of John Mayer.
Every time. So while they're watching him in concert, that's what I'll think of. And I'd forgotten they were going, and they dropped the dog off on their way there, picked Dylan up from work, who just got a new job. He's super excited. Anyway, I dropped the dog off, and I didn't know. So I went upstairs to be greeted by a ferocious, and she doesn't like, she
just in the room, like, open the door.
Yeah, yeah, and she likes me, right? She knows me and likes me. We love Izzy. She's great. We love laying with her and stuff. But if she sees the outline or the silhouette or the image of a dude coming around, never women, never barks at women. Don't know why, but barks at men every time. And she didn't quite recognize me at first and went on to defensive mode. So she freaked out. I'm like, Izzy, whoa, it's me. And the person I was on the other phone with, which was like a potential sponsor for the instance, was like, what the hell's going on over there? So anyway, one of those things, man. Enjoyed it, though. Enjoyed getting bit, or not bit, but barked at by a dog I forgot was here. And she's here until Sunday night, I guess.
Oh, so they're spending quite a while in Vegas.
Yeah, they're going to do a little trippy trip.
Cool.
And now that Taylor's a full-time independent photographer, she can do whatever she wants with her schedule, and he's in the middle of changing jobs, so he had a little break time between jobs.
Perfect.
And their friends had nothing going on because they're slacker ass millennial dirty bastards.
Ugh.
Just kidding.
Those are the worst kinds of people ever created on the face of this planet.
I say that out loud, but they listen to the show, so he knows.
I
I'm
know,
kidding.
And I say that because I know that we always get guff for
a little bit of guff.
For perceived slights against millennials. So now I'm going to make it not so perceived.
Yeah. So Max, if you're listening, I apologize, dude. I think you're great.
I love millennials. I'm kidding about that.
Oh, they're the best. They're the fruit in my bowl of cheese. They're the wonderful people. So there's that. And that's how that went. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to do a little news here at the top of the show. Oh, that's not it. Gosh,
all right,
dang it.
It's Stump of the News.
Shoot.
Brought to you by.
That is definitely not it.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Time for the evening news brought to you by.
Have a drink. Can Chris, Brittany, Casey, and Justin survive Prohibition? Come find out as they start a three-part journey into American history and learn what made America go dry and what made us change our minds. Check us out at haveadrinkshow.com or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Sounds good to me.
Have a drink show.
So what we got here is a story about a man who shoved a live eel in his anus to cure constipation.
I have thought about doing this myself, and I can't imagine why it wouldn't work.
You had one of those cheese tasting nights, and you're just plugged up, and you don't know what to do.
Right, exactly. Sitting there next door with a crazy neighbor. He's painting my nail, feeling a little constipated, and we just come up with this idea. This is funny. We this last weekend,
the dumbest stuff always comes from sitting in the bar.
Oh, yeah.
In the neighbor's basement.
The bar, one that right? you periscope from sometimes.
Exactly. The very same one. And it's always, you know, we've always got like the Travel Channel or Food Network on, and it mm-hmm. seems like it's always Guy Fieri on there shoving burgers in his pie hole. But we decided to figure out the minimum number of yes or no questions you can ask someone with a playing card. So you have them pull a card from the deck, and what's the minimal number of yes or no questions? Because obviously just questions, you can say, what's your card? And you'll find out in one question. But the minimal number of yes or no questions that you can ask to determine what card they have.
Okay.
And we figured out it's 6.
Oh my gosh. You guys are crazy. That's awesome. That seems like a lot of work.
We sat there with pen and paper, like doing a little flow chart kind of thing and figuring out the best way to divide them up and figure out the way to break it down. And
6 steps. So if I was holding, let's say I was holding a one-eyed jack, what is that? Spades?
I can't remember.
Jack. Let's just say it's Ace of Spades that I have.
Oh, the Ace of Spades. So you're Lemmy and you're holding the Ace of Spades.
Yeah, of course. And it's covered in drugs. And what else? What else did he do?
So question number one, is your card black?
Okay. And if I said yes, that's number one to get there.
Right.
So I'll say yes. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let me think of a card.
Okay.
This will be fun. Okay. Okay, I got it.
All right. Is your card the 5 of diamonds?
No.
Okay. I just was curious if I could like, if our ESP mojo was that strong that I could actually sense what, all right. That doesn't count as what my.
Okay. We won't count that toward your 6. All right.
Is your card black?
No.
All right. Is your card a diamond?
No.
Okay. Is your card even? And by even, let me make sure I clarify here. Ace is considered to be a 1.
Yeah.
And Jack is 11, Queen is 12, King is 13. Okay. Kind of that standard.
No, that makes sense. The answer is yes, it is an even number.
Okay. Is your card higher than a 7?
No.
All right. Is your card... How many questions is that? So I've got...
The 3.
Color, suit, even or odd,
4.
Higher than a 7. I've done 4 questions. I have 2 questions left.
Yep. You've done 4 so far.
All right. Is your card a 4 or higher?
Yes.
All right.
Final question, right?
My final question. And then I'll tell you what your card is, by the way.
Yeah. No, I understand.
That question 6 isn't, is this?
Isn't the answer. Yeah.
All right. Is your card the 6 of hearts?
Shit. So you did it in five then.
I did it in 5, but if you would have said no, then I would have said, all right, it's the 4 of hearts.
Oh my gosh. I love this game. Is this how a lot of tricks are done?
No, I don't think so at all. I think this is, I mean, it's just basic sussing it out.
Yeah, but I wonder if there are tricks on the street people do with cards that are a form of that sussing.
I wonder if you could do this on the street and they say, all right, you're going to pick a card. I get 6 questions and then I'm going to tell you what your card is.
Yeah, that's a pretty, I mean, that sounds like a trick. It's not
it
one,
does.
But it seems
it's like
one.
52 cards. You're thinking you're never going to be able to tell my cards in 52 or in 6 questions. There's 52 to choose from.
Okay, because my memory is poo and kind of like Swiss cheese. At some point, can you just text me the rules? And
I'm
going to pull that on Nick tonight.
I mean, basically, you're dividing everything in half every single time. So red or black, and then you figured out if it's either red or black. You divide between those two suits. You nail it down. And then you figure out odd or even. We figured that was actually the key right there. It took us like 8 questions before we figured out, well, before we even get to the higher or lower than this number, what if we did odd or even? And
how did you know not diamonds and that it was hearts instead?
Because I asked you if it was a diamond. You said no.
Oh, that was earlier. That was after color, right?
That was after color, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is what I mean by not remembering. I got to get the list.
Right.
Because I'm going to do this to Nick, and he's going to freak out.
There you go. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's 16. He's too stupid to know that it's actually just math, and his math grades are terrible. So,
but I'll text you those. I'll text you the breakdown.
All right. Well, back to the anus guy. Here's the anus guy. How did
it
we
is
do
funny
this?
That this again tangent right off of that.
How did we do that though?
I was making the joke that I've thought about doing this myself. I was sitting in the bar and I was a little constipated.
And then what did we, I still don't know how we got there.
just the tangent of, boy, I come up with some dumb stuff when I'm in the crazy neighbors next door.
Oh, bar. And then you've thought of that story. Okay.
And then I thought of something real that I...
No, this is great. This is how it's supposed to go, you guys. You're watching the sausage get made. So this man, he shoved an eel. This is an electric eel up his hoo-ha. And,
an electric eel even?
Well...
I don't think it was an electric eel.
I thought they were all electric. Are they not?
No. Some of them are manual.
Some are gas driven, and exactly. There's a couple of hybrids, but you know, we're trying to go full electric here, so maybe this is just a hope of mine that we'll just move to full electric eels.
Exactly, yes.
Hoping to cure his constipation, a Gangzhou man, he's in, of course he's in China. This stuff happens all the time. He almost died because this thing curled up and like went all up in his intestines and burrowed everywhere. This is a bad thing. He recently inserted a live eel into his rumper.
I'm just trying to think of like the thought process. He's totally thinking the eel is going to eat the poo.
Well, I think what he thought is was going to go through there and like, I don't know, break it up or something.
He's thinking that the eel was going to eat the poo and then the eel would just come out because it ran out of food or something.
Yeah, the eel's like, well, I'm done here. My work here is done. Out we go. 49-year-old man, surnamed Liu, stumbled into a hospital in Baiyun District last week with severe pain and the mother of all stomach aches. Doctors saw Liu's stomach all swollen up to abnormal size and immediately rushed him to surgery. This is according to the Gangzhou Daily. Have you been that paper? Gone there?
I have not installed the Gangzhou Daily.
Darn it. I don't know. You know, I'm not shocked, but darn it. Anyway, during the operation, they were surprised to find a 50-centimeter long eel swimming around inside there. 50 centimeters.
Still 50 centimeters. Hold on.
Still alive. Yeah, do you have a measuring unit?
Oh, I have a measuring unit.
Yeah, you keep that handy for when you need to just feel good about your...
I do. Okay. Let's see. That's funny. It's inches and millimeters, though.
Oh, there's no centimeters.
And 10 centimeters is a millimeter, right?
No, millimeters. I'm sorry, I mean,
10 millimeters is a centimeter.
Yeah, other way around. Yeah. So 10.
All right.
Every 10 millimeters is a centimeter. I don't know how many centimeters are in a meter, though. 10? I guess 10 again.
No, that would make sense with the decimal.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of that damn system.
Okay, so, and it's 50 centimeters, so 500 millimeters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which would be the length of this metal ruler right here.
That's the length of the eel? Ugh. Oh, podcast listeners, if you could just see Brian swinging that around. That was great. Anyway, this 50-centimeter eel was swimming around in there. The eel had broken through his intestines, created a real mess inside his abdominal cavity, and nearly killed the guy. Fortunately, doctors were able to extract the eel and save his life. I'm guessing he was septic and all kinds of problems.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all good now. Well done, China. You continue to surprise us with your stupid stories.
Oh, jeez.
This is not political, and I'm about to tell you, so everyone just calm down when you hear the name Trump, okay? There's nothing political about the following story. Nothing. I promise you, nothing.
The following story is presented without political discourse.
By?
By Menon.
Menon, exactly. Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Oh, I have a sound clip for that.
Yeah, you do.
Didn't you send it to me?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you gave this to me. Hold on. Menon. How do you spell Menon?
M-E-N-N-E-N.
Here it is. Here it is in G major.
By Menon.
And here it is in D major.
By Menon.
There you go. And then...
Big thanks to the blanks.
Then there's this.
If you're 25 years old and unmarried, you're a menace to society.
Okay, great. I don't know what that was. So here's the deal. Trump's Mar-a-Lago kitchen. This is down there at that place he goes to all the time.
Right.
His little getaway White House in Florida deal. Mm-hmm. The kitchen there that makes all the food all the time got slapped with 13 health violations by the Florida Board of Health. President Trump has promised to make America great again. He should start with a kitchen at Mar-a-Lago, it says here. Again, not my words. I'm not doing political stuff.
And that's CNN.
Yeah, this is CNN, who doesn't like him anyway. Or no,
this is CNN.
Or is it the other way? No, they don't like him much. Well, I don't know. They're a little biased.
I think they care for each other. I think that isn't CNN one of the ones that he told to sit down at the...
Yeah,
he one did. One of those early press conferences. Yeah.
Sit down. Just sit down, he said. President posts a posh resort in Palm Beach, Florida, was slapped with 13 of these violations after a kitchen inspection in January, including three categorized as high priority by the Florida Division of Hotels and Restaurants. Two of those related to keeping raw meat. Great. I always worry about this everywhere I go.
Yes, right.
Such as the beef at the heart of Trump's beloved meatloaf. I guess that's his thing.
Does he like meatloaf?
He loves the meat. Don't you remember when he had Chris Christie down there and he said, you got to have the meatloaf? And Chris Christie's like, oh, I think I'll have chicken. And he goes, no, you're having the meatloaf, and made him eat meatloaf. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I'm just picturing Trump arm in arm with the guy singing, I would do anything for love.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be great.
Also, wasn't he on The Apprentice at some point?
Oh, he was. Yeah. Meatloaf was on The Apprentice.
Yeah. He loves meatloaf in both
Marvin
the edible.
A day.
Both the edible and the sweaty kind. It says in the walk-in and reach-in coolers that were set above the mandated maximum temperature of 41 degrees, that meat was, I guess, at risk. Yeah. I don't like any
That's
of that.
That's no good. God, you hear about that? I don't know if you ever watched that Restaurant Impossible. It's the, Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh, right. So. I have seen some of that. I like that show.
I do too. And it's like always a shit show when he goes into the freezer and mm-hmm. sees that, all right, well, you've got the raw meat and the cooked meat being contained in the same container, or you've got raw meat with juices in a plastic container above the cooked meat, or, above the vegetables, just something like that. Like you've got, mm-hmm. there's so many ways you have to store food in a freezer. It's like keeping track of all that stuff.
And it seems legit. I don't know how much of that stuff they stage or not. I probably not. I'm so skeptical now. Ever since we had that editor on Current Geek that did Pawn Stars and what was the other one?
Housewives shows.
Yeah, the Housewives shows. And he also did one other one. What was the other one? Pawn Stars, that. Oh, and that Storage Wars deal.
Oh, right.
And he says it's all fake. He's like, yeah, nothing you're seeing is, it's all made up. When they sit in chairs and talk, it's all off of script.
Sure.
This is nobody's saying anything.
I used to like Comic Book Men too. Mm-hmm. The AMC show about Kevin Smith's comic shop.
Yeah.
But we know so much of that stuff, like them sitting around chatting. It's like, so let's say you were a famous car of a comic book character. Which car would you want to be? And you know, that's just like from a list that they provide them.
Yeah, and even the stuff where they're trying to give like the Pawn Star style valuations.
Oh,
like
reviewing, yes.
Like that stuff's all fake. He told me that the Pawn Star people were never real. They'd find people on Craigslist locally and contact them and say, hey, you got some fake sword you're selling? Yeah. Why don't you come into our show? You just have to pretend it's real and we're going to tell you it isn't on the show. I already thought reality TV was dumb, but talking to an actual editor of all those shows made me really down on it. I don't believe any of it, except the baking one. That's it. It's the only one I believe.
The baking one. Totally. Yeah. Totally real.
Yep. So it's nice, soggy.
God, we're loving. Sponge. We're loving. I'm totally making. So Ruby, the really pretty younger contestant from second season.
Yeah, blonde one, right?
No.
Brunette,
darker skin.
Oh, Ruby.
Ruby.
Yeah.
She made a cherry apple marzipan pie on the episode we watched last week, and I'm totally making that this week.
Oh my lord.
This weekend. Totally doing over the weekend.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they're busted.
Anyway,
they're in trouble.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Mar-a-Lago bad.
It's all good. It says it all contributes directly to a foodborne illness or injury, including items such as cooking, reheating, cooling, and hand washing. Other violations were serving undercooked seafood that had not undergone proper parasite destruction.
Oh my God.
Hey, guess where I'm not eating in Palm Beach?
Exactly. Proper parasite destruction.
Mm-hmm. Because all seafood comes with some parasites, I guess, or the potential of, and you're always supposed to do certain things to get rid of it. That's why a lot of salt is used in certain dishes, or, you know, you're boiling crawfish and you boil the hell out of them and lobster and stuff like that, because that'll kill the parasites. If they're not doing that right, I'm sure that they're real careful when Big T's down there, you know?
Who knows?
Yeah, when Big Donnie T walks in, they're like,
you think they're...
They probably have to, right?
I don't know. If this is their standard, their health standard, it's not like they're, Trump's coming. And again, they would have to be doing this on almost a weekly basis, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not almost. Kind of exactly that. But yeah.
They're not going to all of a sudden switch the freezer out, and then when he leaves, switch it back.
Good point. So even he's running the risk.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's a brave man.
They say that, you know, if you don't do proper parasite destruction, then it has the chance to turn your skin orange.
Ew. Well, now we know some things. And his eyes stay white and puffy, though, right?
That's right.
All right. Still not political, everybody. We're just talking about how people look. We're just body shaming. Yeah, we're just body shaming. Everything's fine. Everyone call off the dogs. We're body shaming.
There's a difference.
Bewildered beaver becomes accidental leader of 150 curious cows. This is a great book by Dr. Seuss that never quite
made it. Totally seems like it, yeah.
The bewildered beaver became accidental leader of the 150 curious cows. A perplexed beaver who accidentally herded all 150 of these head of cattle across from a farm in Canada last week has become an online sensation. I hate that term.
Right, yeah.
How do we move 150 heifers in Canada, wrote rancher Adrian Ivy. Who filmed the unusual encounter in Saskatchewan in a Facebook post that attracted over 100,000 views. Doesn't seem like a lot in a modern context, but whatever. Now I just need a better trained beaver, he says. he says that cows are curious, like teenagers, he says.
And I think it's an Adrian as a she. Adrian.
Oh, is it a girl?
Yeah.
So young cows are like teenagers in that they're very curious. Does that also mean young cows are grabbing each other's udders like teenagers?
They're always on their phones.
Yep. Grabbing each other's teats.
Sleep until 1 p.m.
Yep. Can I touch your teat? The video shows the cows carefully following the beaver when the rodent moves. First of all, I didn't know beavers were rodents, so I learned something today. Had no idea they were rodents. Did you know that?
I did.
I had no idea.
We even had a trivia question this week about an untouchable rodent. We're like trying to figure out untouchable rodent. Mm. And then we figured out it was a porcupine.
They called the Ashanti. Connery.
The musician Ashanti was named after, took her name from the African word for porcupine.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
All right. Who's Ashanti? I can't think who that is.
Ashanti, dust yourself off and try again.
Oh, it's not.
What was the movie? Was it Blade?
Work.
No, it's not. It's not the Rihanna.
Okay. All right. Hey, by the way, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with Ariana. I thought I would kind of look around and just see what's up because I was a little hard on that song and how it was playing everywhere in Vegas. And I thought, well, you know what? The girl's got like 70 million followers on Twitter alone. She's got fans. Like, she's big. She's huge. She's a huge star. Yeah.
You didn't have to look her up to know that.
No, really, but what it did is it reminded me, I should probably at least see what's up, and so I thought I'll go watch some videos on YouTube. So two things happened. One, I realized that on her Vivo YouTube account, she has many videos, and in all of them, there is some form of her exposing her nipples in them.
Oh, really?
She's either totally topless or in some sheer thing, always nipple time for her, okay?
Wow.
That's the first thing I learned. Fine, whatever. Second thing I learned is, I guess YouTube's not blocking videos that have boobs in them anymore. Because there was tons of like full-on naked ladies in these Ariana videos.
No, they don't. Ariana, or you mean Rihanna?
Rihanna. These Ariana Huffington videos. Or
Ariana Grande. I mean, I thought you might have switched names on me, and I was thinking somebody
else. No, her, not her. But yes, her, she's naked all the time. And these other people in her video are naked. In fact, the one that, you know, that bitch better have my money. That one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's naked people all up and down that video, and it's on YouTube.
I could have sworn there was, we've seen some of that in other music videos. There was the, what was the one that Kanye did last year that had all the wax figures, the naked wax figures all in bed together?
Oh, were those real
people?
That
one had some nudity in it.
Were they real people or wax figures, though?
Well, they were wax figures. I think there was actually some real people mixed in with the wax figures, and there were.
I remember the one with the Pharrell and.
But
that wasn't on. That's my point. That one was not on YouTube. They showed the cut one on YouTube.
It was totally on YouTube. I remember watching it on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, the thick Robin Thicke.
Because I thought you had to go to the Vivo site to see the uncut version.
I thought I saw it on. I thought we were watching it on YouTube, but maybe not.
All right. Well, maybe this has all changed. Apparently, you can be topless on YouTube. So I'm starting a new channel called Scott Shows His Nips.
While he plays Resident Evil.
Yep.
Woo!
Yep. There you go. The Lactating Podcaster, it's called.
Nice.
Check it out.
Good.
LactatingPodcaster.com, everybody. That's probably a I don't look it up.
Probably. I'm sure there's a lactating podcast.
I don't want to know. Here we go. moving on. Oh, yeah, so this beaver had some cows follow it. That's all that story is.
So beaver walked across and the cow said, oh, okay, let's follow the cow.
That's it. Yeah, there's nothing special in that article except that. Finally, teens charged after allegedly trying to break into a car with police while the police was inside the car. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
A wild night for a group of teens last week ended with all of them facing a slew of criminal charges, including grand theft larceny. Or grand larceny, rather. I was playing Grand Theft Auto at lunch today, so I'm back in. I can't. What's wrong with me? You're playing that game. I should be finishing Zelda. I should be finishing the other one on the PS4. I've got a million games on the PC, and here I am with a wild hair up my butt playing the campaign of GTA 5 again.
Listen, the heart wants what the heart wants. The heart wanted GTA.
When there's an itch to scratch, plus that thing looks incredible on the PC, so it feels like a brand new game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anyway, according to the Chesterfield Police Department at 1 a.m. Friday, the officer was sitting in an unmarked vehicle somewhere near Burnage Court, where I don't know where this is. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't really say. You can't really get it from the URL.
No. But another car pulled up behind him. Police say a group of people got out of the vehicle, approached the officer's car, and then one of them tried to break in while the police officer was inside.
Dorks.
Tori Shirley, who's the officer in question, says, crazy. Kind of stupid on their part, she says. I agree. Hard to argue with that.
Oh, Chesterfield, Virginia.
There you go. She says her and her family lived on Harold Green Road for 3 years. She says the neighborhood is a very family-friendly one, and she never felt uneasy about letting her kids walk around until now. So many police officers in this neighborhood, so you feel really safe, she said. To hear that, it was shocking and surprising. Chesterfield police say the group of teens were allegedly going through cars parked on Harold Green Drive and Dunroaming Road.
Well, when you're done roaming, you go to Dunroaming Road.
Exactly. It's kind of like, oh, what did that thing John say the other night? It was so funny. We were playing Resident Evil, and there was a name on there was an incinerator room where you burn bodies in that game.
Really?
Yeah, you're in for some stuff, Brian.
Apparently so. Apparently, I've stopped it at the point where I've got to kill Mia.
Yeah, the basement is a shit show, is all I want to say.
Great. I've already gone through the water. That freaked me out.
Yeah, I did not like that at all. That is the most claustrophobic, gross thing in a game.
It totally is, yes.
But there's a scene where... Oh, what did it say? John made me laugh so hard.
Because the plastic chair?
Yeah.
I watched that visit us with the plastic chair.
Yeah, right before that, he makes a comment about the person's name, and it made me laugh, and then the plastic chair went nuts, and that was maybe the most scared I was in the entire game. So stupid. Anyway, police said they're lame and they should all go to jail. So that's happening now. All right. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Dan, the tabletop man, will be here. We'll talk about this week's festivities. If you're going to play some board games, he'll know the ones to recommend. And we'll take your Twitter questions after that. Before that, though, I'd sure like to play one of these songs you gave me.
Well, here's the cool thing. You get to play them both in due time. This one, though, you're going to get to play now. Doug wrote in and said, I started learning guitar about 2 years ago and found Rob Chapman on YouTube while looking for instructional videos. I soon found out he has a band called Dorje, and I want to share my favorite song with the fine folks of the Tadpool. It's called Catalyst. And Doug reached out to Rob Chapman and said, hey, can I get one of these played on TMS? He said yes, and Doug sent me. I love that I get screenshots of conversations with musicians about getting permission. That's the best way to do it, right? Reach out to him via Facebook Messenger and say, "Hey, can I play this, please? Or can I request it?" And they said, "Sure enough, Dorje, Dorje." When you're looking for this, the song is called Catalyst, and it's from the album of the same name from 2015. Here is Dorje.
Haunted by
That was something.
Did that rock or what?
Woo! I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I would like to hear more of that. I'm with him that that's a cool band to be into.
It is. Hopefully, Dorje.
They sound good enough where I hope YouTube doesn't poop on us with that one. Maybe they won't. We'll get lucky.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
Hope not. Yeah.
Wish there was a way. Well, whatever. It's a YouTube thing we could talk about all day, but we're not gonna. Instead, we're gonna call Dan.
Cool.
We're going to discuss things with Dan of great importance. And it would be really good if I had Skype open.
And really quick, the doodle that you just did, mm-hmm. because it involves a tweet, are you saying that one's open to
anyone?
Podcast listeners as well as streamers?
Podcast listeners and streamers. So if you, I'm glad you said that, because I need to let everybody else who's listening to this at home, maybe even a day later, I did a doodle of like some kind of weird hybrid dinosaur dragon creature. During the song, I've been giving these away to listeners. This morning, it was somebody who was in the chat room. Today, it's for this one, it's going to be tweeters. So if you send us a random tweet saying you'd like to win or something to that effect to MorningStream on Twitter, that's at MorningStream, I'll pick somebody in a few days and mail it to you.
Cool.
Wherever you may live, wherever you may roam.
That is super rad.
It's really rad. All right. Dan, where the hell are you? Okay, here we go. We got Dan coming. He's coming. Right. Don't you folks worry. He's going to be in here right now. I don't have a good sound clip for Dan anymore. Oh, you know what I'll play for you, Dan? How about this? I got to have something with the word Dan in it. Here you go. Here's something with the word Dan in part of the spelling. See if you can find it. No. Here you go.
A rather vulgar, crude, crotch-grabbing dance.
Ah, dance is the word.
I don't have my nipples out either.
No, well, you don't.
We need to edit that down so we can't hear that at the end.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Dan, what's going on? I actually have a good idea, guys. Brian, let me try that. Hold on. How can I do that? Can I stop it? So yeah. Let's see. Let's try it again.
A rather vulgar, crude, crotch-grabbing dance.
Oh, shoot. I'll do it.
Was close.
Yeah, I'll do it later. Hold on.
Grabbing Dan.
There you go. Crotch grabbing Dan.
Nice.
It's our new theme. Dan the tabletop man. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, guys?
It's been a little while.
So I had a quick story for you about, you talking about the reality stuff.
Yeah.
So there was an article a while back that Bar Rescue, remember that Bar Rescue show that's on and Spike or something?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And they're kind of the same thing as the restaurants they go with.
And that's a guy, that's the other guy I don't like because he's got like, it's the big muscular dude, right?
John Topper? No, it's John Topper is the real tall guy. He looks like Lurch or something like that. He's just a real big
okay.
dude.
Him, he's okay. It's the
muscular dude is the Kitchen Impossible guy.
That's the guy I don't like.
And it was funny because he was the biggest fraud going, and then they were like, well, you're too good at what you do, so we might as well. Because he had said that he worked under the queen and for all these royal families, and it turns out he lied. So they fired him, right. And they were like, well, you were so damn good at what you did, we got to bring you back, and you know, he was doing so good for people, so they were like, screw it.
Is that the British guy or Australian guy?
It's the British guy, and British his guy. Lips are perpetually not just moist, but like sopping wet. And so all I can imagine is that when he's talking to people, he's just constantly spitting on them.
Ugh. Oh, that's Scott's favorite thing. He'd be spitting all over you every time you talk. Yeah.
He's the kitchen disaster. Nightmare right there.
He's the kitchen nightmare.
Yeah, I think I've seen that thing a few times, but anyway.
The Bar Rescue place, when they were in Raleigh, like a lot of these places come to the North Carolina area, but they were in Raleigh and they commissioned some art from a local artist that had to be done like real quick, and they never paid him. Mm. So they did this whole big makeover of a bar, and the artist had to like sue them to get some money out of it.
Really?
It's a big article about it. Yeah.
Holy
shit. They just stood him up for the cash.
Yeah, something skeevy there. That's not good. Yeah. I don't.
And the comic book men, guys, I was getting mails just wanting us to make shout outs to our show for people like for casting call for that show to bring stuff into their shop. And I'm like, you want me to get people that listen to the show to bring their valuables there so you can pay them 10% of what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. Just so it's good TV fodder and they can make fun of how bad shape it's in or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little, listen, reality TV. Turns out it's less real than reality.
What?
Yeah, it's garbage. Well, all right then. Dan, it's always good to have you on. This weekend's a weekend. That means people can play board games and stuff, and you always come with a little something in your double-barreled shotgun of recommendations. Oh, yeah.
I got some information for you, too. So remember we were talking a couple episodes back about Gloomhaven? That really was kind of the game. I keep calling it like the game I've been waiting for all my life. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like D&D in a box.
Yeah.
It's the second printing is now on Kickstarter, and it's made $2.4 million.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. You pointed this out to us last time, and I was really, really close to picking
it
up.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
It's by far my favorite game of the year. Maybe it's already in the top 10 of Board Game Geek, and I wouldn't be surprised if it got to the top 5 before the end of the year.
Are you going to push me over the edge? There's 11 days to go on this thing. Oh, look at this thing.
So wait, is it an expansion to Gloomhaven?
No, it's the second printing.
They sold out of the first printing so fast that people were just clamoring for more, so they did a second printing of it. Because I think the first printing made like 300,000, and then word of mouth got out so much about how good it is, people just kept begging for next printing, so we put it up there. And within a day, within 24 hours, he made $1 million on this. And KickTrax has it going up to $4 million is what it's trending towards if all the trending stays about the same. Now it put it in a top 5 of board game projects.
So I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it now. Oh yeah, look at this. So this is a second printing.
Yep.
Okay.
It's really, really good. And what's funny about I remember you were talking. I think it might have been on your. That show you do every, what's the daily show you do?
The Morning Stream?
No, not that.
Oh. You mean
the new thing you've been doing on Booth,
right? The anchor show, the Daily Blip.
Yeah. So you were talking about, you mentioned Kingdom Death Monster on it a while ago. It's talking about like all their major fundings. Now, what's interesting about the top couple games on Kickstarter is things like Kingdom Death Monster and Exploding Kittens. They're both absolutely pieces of crap games.
Okay.
And they made so much money. Mm-hmm. This is a game that'll probably end up in a top four or five. And the other games, like Dark Souls is supposed to be a decent game, and Rising Sun that just came out last month. They're both decent board games, but those first two, they're just garbage. Like Kingdom Death Monster, it made a whole ton of money because of miniatures and boobies on the miniatures and stuff like that. People just go nuts for that crap. But
yeah.
Gloomhaven is worth every penny.
So I can't find the... This one says this thing was funded already. I must be looking at
that. Oh, you might be seeing the first... I'll put it in the...
stick it in the chat room or the Skype or something.
I'll throw it in the Skype for you.
I want to see this. So we can still get in on this? And how's the price doing? Is it still the same or has it gone higher?
Oh, yeah. It's just... I think you can get in on it for about $100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $99 to get in.
And it comes with a whole bunch of stuff. And shipping is included anywhere in the world. That's pretty... that box, you could work out with this box because it's like 20 pounds.
Oh, I know. I'm looking at it now. That's the other thing. Game storage. You've got walls and walls behind you. Like we can see
yeah.
it when you're online there. I don't have that kind of storage, man. I guess if I got rid of like 100 CDs, maybe I could store some games.
It's so bad. I have to start getting rid of... I have a closet. I have a closet for, you know... my buddy Chris, he's got like the regular shelf and he's got purgatory and he's got hell. So he's got games that are purgatory that he's not quite sure if he's going to keep them or get rid of them. And then hell, those are all the games that he's just going to sell and auction and stuff. I've got kind of the same thing where I've kind of got another closet of games that I'm just going to give away on our podcast and stuff like that. And, you know, when we get these review copies, you play them once or twice. And then what do you do with them? You can't just keep everything.
Right.
So you got to either sell it or give it away. And, you know, and that opens up a whole nother can of worms of, you know, what's the etiquette of selling games you got for a review copy? Have you given enough stuff, you know,
giving them the review,
is that enough to go ahead and make a little bit of a profit for yourself?
Yeah, as long as you've reviewed it and tried it and you've decided whether or not you're going to keep it or not, right? I think you're totally within your rights to sell it.
I'm going to buy it, I think.
I've already done it too,
Dan,
Scott.
Promise me this is worth it. Is it worth it? It's just, you know, $100.
It is absolutely. You and your family, I mean, even if you just played you and Nick, but I'm sure, Carter, I mean, even Kim would like to get it. It's really easy because it's all of you guys against the game.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of getting through, you know, watch the first tutorial video or have Nick, you know, watch the tutorial video. The game is not hard to play at all.
Mm.
That's, you know, it's a bummer.
It's got a lot of stuff to it, but you kind of, you know, if you set up for like a long afternoon and you're like, man, I'm just gonna play this all afternoon and go for it. You'll have a blast because, you know, you can play a few different scenarios in an afternoon, and you're constantly evolving your character. Oh, it's great.
Now, it's a bummer that it doesn't ship until August because this sounds like it'd be perfect to bring to Nerdtacular. I guess somebody will have it that'll
bring it to Nerdtacular as well, and you could learn quite a bit from it.
I thought it said, oh, yeah, you're right. It said May on the other one. So,
well, maybe.
Yeah, well, they've got to reproduce because they've already got it. I know it's in production. We just talked to Isaac, the publisher, and he's also the designer. We just interviewed him, and I know that it's in the process, but these things just take a while to get made. I mean, you can imagine all those bits, and I don't think he's getting it. Most production gets done in China, and I don't think this one.
Hey, Scott,
getting
really quick, just to interrupt real quick. Yeah. If you're buying that online, people can see your credit card information.
Oh, I know. I didn't put it in.
You did? Okay, good. I'm watching the chat room, and they're saying, oh, we're looking at Scott's credit card number about to be typed in.
No, I never typed. That's why I didn't do it, because I knew it was going to show up there. So I'll do it later. But yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to get my hands on it. It seems good. Dan's recommendations have never let me down. So
you'll like it. I've got one more bit of news, and I had a game, but we won't worry about the game. You know, we like esports and we like things like that, you know, as far as, you know, the competition with pros and everything.
Sure.
There's a company that I think they might have started in esports. It's a company called Umba TV, and they're doing this Unrivaled tournament series. They're going to have a bunch. They've got 6 board games slated that they're going to have different satellites throughout the United States, you know, to qualify. And they're going to have the championships in Vegas. They've got all sorts of, they've got over 250,000 cash and prizes for the grand finalists. And they're going to be doing King of Tokyo, which is a great game. We've talked about that in the past. Munchkin, Ascension, a deck building game, which is, if there's a game that I could buy for Championship of the World, it would be Ascension. I played so much of that I definitely, I've already looked into the satellite. So I'm going to be going to a local couple of events around here for that, see if I can qualify to get to the main ones. There's the Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards of Rumble in Castle Tentakill. Now, that's really crazy name, but it's on purpose. It's kind of, it's such a wacky game. And it's made, that's a game made by Corey Jones.
Oh, from, Corey Jones, Cryptozoic. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I love, Corey's one of the coolest guys in the industry.
Yeah, we got, he made this, I interviewed him for great. The instance once, and he was so nice on there. He was just really, really gracious, cool dude.
And he's funny. And he's really funny. He's one of the fathers of the old World of Warcraft trading card game, which is basically what the basis for Hearthstone is.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, when he left there, they kept so he was at Blizzard for a long time. Then he left and started Cryptozoic. And then he still did for them. He contracted the WoW TCG. And then that got canceled in favor of Hearthstone. And that's about the time he launched his Kickstarter for Hex.
Yep.
Which is still doing pretty good.
I think it was with, I think he's still with, he's still the president. Because Cryptozoic, they kind of moved Hex to the side.
Yeah.
So I think he's still considered the president and CEO of Hex Entertainment, which puts Hex out. And that's actually a pretty fun game, Hex, because it does have a PvE element to it. Yeah. The other two games that they're doing this Unrivaled are games that I've never even played before, Nevermore and Villagers and Villains. But the main first four that I mentioned, but especially Ascension. Mm. But yeah, that's interesting to see how if board games are going to become viable in a real competitive, you know, they've always been kind of competitive with CCGs and stuff, but to see actual board games in a competitive market, that could be pretty cool.
Yeah. So want this August, I guess we're waiting till August.
All right. Yeah, but think of what it'll be like, a Christmas present. It'll be a late birthday present.
Christmas
for you.
In August.
Yeah. It'll be hey, if any listeners have an extra copy, they'll take my raw money for like sooner than let me know.
Oh, first printing?
Yeah. If you got one, I'm just saying. I'll throw you the cash. If it's a complete set, I'll do it. They haven't changed anything, right? Or are they just making straight up second?
No, no. It's just actually the only thing they're changing are for the better. There's a couple of these dials that they're going to be putting there. That's for your health and your experience, because the tracks that they had, they weren't necessarily made quick, but you know, you're kind of up against a deadline and you're trying to do everything you can.
Yeah.
And so they weren't the greatest tracks to use. These are going to be more dials that are going to be a lot more perfect for everything that within the game. So there's just quality of life improvements in the game itself that'll be different. Other than that, the game is going to be completely the same. They may even have some other things added to it that you could you can get.
And this game's got, it says 30 minutes per game. That's amazing.
No. That's per player.
Oh. So you add 30 minutes per player.
Yeah, so we generally play a three-player all the time. So I'll tell you, each scenario is going to probably take you a couple hours, at least a couple hours. Once you get going with the game, so we played last weekend, me and two of my buddies that have been playing it from the beginning together. We played three scenarios, and we probably played, you know, with breaks and eating and drinking and this and that, probably about 6-7 hours to play three scenarios.
No, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not
a couple hours per scenario. That's what you want, I think. That's why I was surprised by the 30 minutes. That seems short. But it's 30 minutes per person. Could you, in theory, solo queue this thing and do it in 30 minutes?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people have already been doing like little diaries of kind of their or your session reports of their solo plays, because you could even have a regular campaign going, and then there's kind of rules for a solo play, because all you're doing is controlling the two guys, you know, two or three guys yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a piece of cake. People have been really loving that. So, I mean, if there's any gamers out there that don't really have that gaming group, this could really scratch that itch, you know, for not having a D&D group and you just want to get that. I mean, because all the decisions in this game are just amazing, because you may find something in a chest that you might, if you don't open that chest in a scenario, it's gone. And there may be a map to another location on the main map that opens up a side quest.
Mm.
Oh, unbelievable.
I want this so bad. All right. That's so good, gotta get her hands on it. Sounds awesome. Great recommendation, of course. And I love the idea of esports from a tabletop perspective. It's something that hasn't been explored very much, although you see it at, you know, cons will have all kinds of little mini things going on.
Yeah.
But nobody's
and
ever
usually they're
full.
For like promos, you know, you maybe get a copy of the game or promos or something, but for them to be doing, you know, world championships, usually you'll get like a little something, you know, maybe, you know, when I played in the world championships of Ascension a few years ago, there was like an iPad and you could get a card in the next set of the game was like the big prize.
That's pretty awesome.
And I just missed out on the final eight. I was the last tiebreaker out and to get into the final eight on that.
Oh, Dan, you missed your glory moment.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You better get into Heroes.
I'm
going to
go shove an eel up my bum.
Yeah, put an eel up your butt. It'll eat the poo, we hear. Hey, so Dan, where else should people be finding your stuff, man? Where should they look for you?
So next week, like I said, on the Geek All-Stars, we'll have an interview with Isaac Childress from Gloomhaven. You can hear me absolutely gush like Chris Farley for an hour and a half over this game and how good it was. We just put out a really good show last week that's still up on the feed for the Geek All-Stars. We talked about the top 11 games of our childhood. So talking about games that may not be great now, but things we just adored growing up. You know, your Payday and Bonkers and Talisman and things like that. So that's up on a feed, and you can find me at Geek Jock Blog.
On the
find me playing Heroes.
Yeah, he plays a lot of Heroes and stuff. But heals a lot of people, man. Get that.
Let's break it down.
Get your Oriole out there, and you're also you've been playing a lot of him lately.
I love Lucio.
Is he your flavor of the day at the moment?
Yeah, probably because it seems like I can't win with anybody else, and Lucio, I just seem to have a good rapport with. You know, everybody seems to mesh pretty well with him right
now. Yeah, we like to groove on your sweet healing. We like to be near you as you're farting constantly. It's pretty good.
As people do.
As they do. Go check him out in Overwatch 2, people, because he's great in there right now. Dan, take it easy. Be good, and we'll talk to you later.
See you guys. See you,
bye now. I have to tell him to be good. He knows how to be good.
He knows how to be good. I forgot to ask you, by the way, when you went to Vegas, you stayed at the place at downtown Grand where they have esports.
Yeah, they do esports there, here and there.
Did you see any while you were down there?
It wasn't occupied or being used at the time, but we were told that by the lady at the desk that they did all kinds of tournament stuff there. And I wasn't sure what the most recent thing was or how big it was. I know the Heroes of the Storm dorm tournament stuff happened somewhere else. I forgot the name of that place. It was a bigger venue, but when I figured it out, I was like, oh, what's going to go on this week? Maybe I'll get lucky and
be cool to be able to watch some Overwatch tournaments or something like that, right?
Totally with you, man. That would have been good. It's weird that a week ago today, I would be leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
A week ago today, I'd be leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. Time sucks.
Just say a week ago tomorrow, I'd be leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, all right. There's Dan for you, everybody. We're going to do your Twitter questions now. This is a chance for you to hear what you had to say on Twitter.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
And, simpler days. I can't, for whatever reason, find... There we go. The questions. This is the Ask TMS hashtag that's used on Twitter. You don't have to send it to us as a reply. You just send your questions out. Mm-hmm. And we'll start today with Chad Willett, who says, what would it take to get Scott to play Resident Evil 7 on stage at Nerdtacular using a PlayStation VR?
Oh,
it would take a lot more than you think, because there's no way in hell I'm doing that.
I'll bring the VR.
not in front of everybody.
I'll even bring wet wipes and the disinfectant cloth so you can't use that excuse.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind doing it. My daughter's got a PSVR, so I could probably bring hers even, but I can't do the game. I cannot play that game in front of a bunch of people like that and in VR. Freaking F it. That's a bad idea.
What if it was one of the rounds of the Frog Pants All-Stars game?
Ooh, that's actually not bad. Pass that around and make people do a certain little scenario or something.
Oh, my God.
All right, be thinking. Maybe there's an idea there.
I'm
thinking about doing a panel or part of one or something where I draw on the big screen. I was thinking about doing that.
Oh, my God. We do the movie Poster Taboo, right? How about instead of a blindfold, we put on the PSVR Resident Evil.
So they have to like sit there and like fight Grandpa, what's his name?
Well, they don't even have to do that. They can sit in one place, but they'd be sitting in some like secluded dark corner of that house, and they'd be looking at that instead of the blindfold, the inside of a blindfold.
Put them in the basement water that we didn't like. They just have to sit there grooving in it. It's not bad.
It's a thought. It's a thought.
Yeah, we'll think about it. Blake Stadnick says, watching through DS9 for the first time, why the heck did Jadzia so unceremoniously die? Did Terry Farrell just want out? I think that was the deal.
Yeah, it must have been.
She's come around to her. She's a little like Shatner this way. She's come around to her fandom.
I think it was the fact, she just didn't want to be typecast or something. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, she didn't want to be doing that forever. Had other ideas. She went and did Beckett next. Was it Beckett? Becker. Was it Becker?
Mm-hmm.
Becker. Yeah, Becker was on.
Ted Danson thing, yep.
Becker. Yeah, and that looked like, I think to her, that looked like her way out, like her awesome opportunity out. I'm not sure it turned out to be or not, but it was pretty lame. I didn't like her leaving either. I thought she was great. Gary Fisher wrote in. He may know him from Lantronics. Have you ever met Gary Fisher.
Oh, Gary Fisher.
Yeah.
He works at Lantronics, you say?
Yeah, huh. He works at Lantronics. And he says...
Well, that would have been handy to know.
It would have been. He says, Ashanti is named after an African porcupine. What other artists are named after things? What? Wait, what are other artists named after? Justin Bieber, Nickelback, Gautier, and Beyonce. Gotcha.
Okay. So in other words... What are these?
Not Gary Fisher. This is Peter Fisher. I'm reading two. Gary and Peter are right above each other, and my eyes keep going to each other. So let me back up. Gary Fisher's question is this, and we'll still get to Peter's. Okay. Gary says, would you rather be famous when you're alive and forgotten when you die, or unknown when you are alive but famous after you die?
What was the first option?
Would you rather be famous when you're alive, so like right now be famous, but then no one remembers? You end up being like... Old Phil McGilly, who used to be in the in the films back in the 20s.
So famous when you're alive and forgotten when you die, or an unknown when you're alive and famous when you die.
Yeah, so the first one's like an actor. Second one's like a painter, kind of.
A painter, right? Yeah. An impressionist.
Yeah. I kind of think that fame is fleeting regardless.
Yeah.
And when I'm dead, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I'd much rather enjoy the you know, the community and the experience of doing something that people enjoy while I'm alive. Then
later when you die, a horrible death.
Then just knowing that, all right, well, as soon as I die, I'll,
the
Coverville's going to have a resurgence.
Exactly. I don't like that very much, but also I don't, he didn't mention level of fame, but I'm very happy where we're at. I don't need like Brad Pitt level.
Thank you.
That's a miserable place to be. Peter Fisher's question was the Ashanti one. So Justin Bieber, where do you think that comes from? What's he named after?
Justin Bieber is named for the Norwegian word for a sheepdog puppy.
Perfect. It's not bad. Nickelback.
Nickelback.
Named after that the actual back of a nickel, right?
Right, exactly. Right. Comes from the German word for douche.
Oh, okay. Yeah, doucheback.
Douchebag.
Yeah, douchebag.
Nickelback.
It's a douchebag.
That's Russian.
Yeah, it's Russian. Gautier, I'm going to say, comes from a goatee. It's a goatee beard.
Yay.
Yeah. And Beyonce, what would you say about Beyonce? I don't know.
Beyonce comes from the Swahili word for fine linen.
Oh, wow. I think it comes from Beyonce. So it's Beyonce. Comes from one of the world's most beautiful people. Who married one of the ugliest people ever? Excelsior.
It's the Swahili word for out of your league. Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the one. Let's see. Finally, Cranium says, and I'm not sure this is actually happening, but Cranium says, in the live action Aladdin movie, who do you see playing the genie? We don't have Robin Williams, so who would it be?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, that's not bad. That's all right. I'd take that.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, he would do it. I'd be fine with that.
Or Tarantino. Maybe you put Tarantino.
Oh, my Lord.
No. All right. Okay. So you're looking for three wishes? Is that what you're looking for?
Let me see your effing feet. Can I see your effing feet?
Exactly.
Mr. Pink. Yeah, I don't know who else. I can't think of any other names. Somebody bombastic and loud and fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know who. Are they doing this? Is this a thing?
Patton Oswalt.
He's too nerd.
He's too nerdy.
But see, if they're really doing this, he'll be a big CGI genie anyway. So it's all about who do you want to voice it so much as it is anything else. Mm-hmm. I think you could have someone who does a really good Robin Williams impression do it. That'd be all right, or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, who was there's a comedian that does a dead on Robin Williams, and I'm trying to remember who it is.
Not John DiMaggio. I always think of him. He's Bender. But
right.
I don't know. If they're really doing that, I'm very curious about that. I wonder what they'll do, because there is a lot more animated stuff in there, like creature character stuff that can't simply be just a dude in a suit.
But I mean, they could go a different direction with it and not have it be someone who's derailing train of thought tangentials all the time, and be more like a genie that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad. All right, well, we'll let people pipe in. We'll do one more here. Daniel Pierce says, in your opinion, which is the best critically acclaimed film sack you ever sacked? He says, my top three is The Game, Jaws, and then he says he can't remember the third.
He should have just said top two.
Yeah, no kidding.
Saved himself the embarrassment.
Critically best film sack film?
Jaws would definitely be in my top three. I enjoyed Jaws, a rewatching of Jaws, a lot more than I was expecting to, and it is critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club is always going to be up there for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Always holds up.
Breakfast Club, Jaws, what else? Because so far you and I have the same list.
Critically acclaimed Bruce Willis vehicle, Hudson Hawk. Thank you very much.
I was kiss my grits. Or no, what does he say?
Slurp my butt.
It's not quite the same as kiss my grits.
No, it's not.
For me, the third, because your first two are my first two as well, but I'm going to say my third would be... this is hard. I can't think of a third one either. I really can't. I can't think of a good third one. Oh, maybe The Rock. I love The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Not the actor, not Dwayne Johnson. Right, I like him too.
The movie The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be my other one. That's it for your questions. Thanks everybody for submitting them. We always appreciate them. You can send them all week to AskTMS. That's the hashtag. And if you'd like to win this little sketch, just send a tweet to MorningStream @MorningStream why you think you should get. That's not a print, but this doodle I did, and I'll send you some extra prints with it. So a nice little envelope with some extra free stuff, just art for whatever, for no reason, just for funds. And I'll do that for the next couple of days so that you at home can also participate. Maybe I'll give that away on Monday so you have the whole weekend. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget patreon.com/TMS. It keeps this PM episode alive and all other things we do. Really, it is the lifeblood of the show. We need you. We need you. That's all
we
I'm saying.
We need you. We couldn't do what we do without you.
That's right. Frogpants.com/TMS. There'll be a link to that and everything else we do, including all our contact details. So check it out. We'll leave you now with some music. Brian brought a little something with him. It's probably a cover. What do you have?
It is El Taco Spider. Wrote in and said, hello there, Spock and Bones. He really wanted me to roll the R's. El Taco Spider.
Nice.
Hey there, Spock and Bones. The 14th of April. I know it was a week ago almost. It's my best friend's 30th birthday. Pontus is a fantastic friend, a quiz genius, and a master of nerddom who deserves the best things in life. Just to prove how awesome he is, he's the one who got me to listen to TMS, and he got me hooked to the Frog Pants Network.
Aww.
I want to commemorate this milestone and our lifelong mission to trick the world into believing we're adults, so I turn to you, Songmaster Brian, to try and find a cool slash weird slash funny slash awesome cover by or of slash. No, just kidding. Danko Jones, his favorite band.
All right.
Is it too early to smoke a weed every day sandwich?
Oh, my gosh. No. Look, you know what's funny?
That's why I moved it to today. Perfect.
Oh, wait. Now, so you know what's funny is I deleted the weed one because I thought I'd never use it again or not use it for a while. And so,
right. For a year, right?
So here's, okay, now I got it. All right, so here you go, right here.
Smoke weed every day.
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich.
Back to back.
Perfect. There you go.
Yeah.
Love the show, though, bros. And Cholo's living life like YOLO, shooting solo as he runs from the popos.
Jeez.
Holy cow.
Just makes me want to play GTA 5 more. That's all that does.
So a cover of or by Danko Jones. Well, it's going to be pretty easy to pick a cover by him. Danko Jones done a lot of covers. This one came from his B-Sides album from 2009. It's a cover of Elvis Costello's Pump It Up.
Oh.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Here's Danko Jones.
Here it is. We'll see you guys Monday. Come on back.
Jack. try to stop it. She's like a narcotic. You wanna talk to her, you wanna talk to her. All the things you bought for her, putting up your temperature. Pump it up until you can't feel it. Pump it up when you don't really need it. Don't really need it. Out in the fashion show, down in the bargain bin, you put your passion out under the pressure pin. Fall into submission, hit and run, transmission, no use wishing out for any other sin. Pump it up until you can't feel it.
Why isn't it doing it? There we go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Some kind of weird bug, man.